Welcome to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. It's Monday, July 15th, 2019. We didn't get all that rain they were thinking we were going to get from the hurricane.
That's good.
Maybe it'll blow back around or something. I don't know.
You want it to rain?
It rained. You know, it was raining this morning, and it's certainly been a dreary day here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No, I don't think I do. I was supposed to play in a golf outing today, and that got canceled.
Well, yeah.
But it was good. There were some other things going on, and at the end of the day, it all worked out. So, okay. Did you have a good weekend?
Did. I had a busy weekend. But no, it was good. I had a lot of outside time, nature time, alone time.
That's good.
And family time. It was about as good as it gets.
Bailey, are you with us?
I'm here.
Good. No issues this weekend?
No.
You told me you slept a lot this weekend. Any particular reason why?
My friend came to visit for Friday night. She's road tripping from North Carolina to California.
Yes, you told me about that.
So we had a little fun on Friday night, so I slept in on Saturday.
Well, cool. I assume you went down on Broadway and had a good time?
We did. Tried out the new milkshake bar down there.
Really?
It was good.
We can't get through a podcast without talking about some sort of food or drink.
Yeah, that's what we do.
It hits us every time.
You talk about what you know.
Yeah, it hits us every single time. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, we wanted to start out today's podcast. A lot of the drivers by now have probably heard the news. We had a post on our Twitter and Facebook account, but M&W last week lost Buford Benson, who had been an employee of M&W for over 30 years. He had worked with Jim McFarlane, who was who began M&W, which was actually Consolidated Cartage at the very, very, very beginning. Buford had been with M&W. He did pretty much everything there was to do in the company. I think he did safety, and he probably sold a little bit. I know there was a pallet company at one point.
Oh yeah,
I mean, that he had owned with Jim McFarlane, and he was here in the Kroger days of the warehouse, so he worked on the warehousing side. And what's funny is Jimmy Hoag and I went to the funeral today, and Jimmy came in 1998 or 1999. You know, Jimmy's been here almost 20 years. Anyway, when he met Buford in 1998, Buford was retiring at that point.
Yeah. Buford retired a lot.
Yeah. And he was still here until 2018. So yeah. Buford got sick a year or so ago, year and a half or so ago, and he passed away last week. But was a great man, was one of our first safety directors, I think, here at M&W, which you're in that line, you know, you and Wayne. And so he definitely, you know, kind of started us down the path of being what we are as a company. From a safety standpoint, you know.
Well, and personally for me too. I mean, I got to spend a lot of time with Buford, and he was it was not a good mix when I first came on, because you know, when I was here, got here, what was it, 8 or 9 years ago, and I guess 8 years ago, and you know, headstrong and wanted to do something, but not knowing anything about trucking, and Buford, it's, you know, he by that point had forgotten more about trucking than I'll probably ever know in my entire life. You know, it was definitely old school versus new school. But as old school as Buford was, and as much as he wanted everything to be kind of back to what it was, and the pure truck driver, and just going up and down the road and kind of being the king of the road there. Once I learned some stuff and wasn't quite the idiot I was when I first arrived here, we had just a ton of respect for each other, and I got to the point where I knew it was wise for me to sit down and listen to Buford. And what he had to say, and even though the laws had changed and the regs had changed and trucks had changed and all that, there was still something to what he had to say. And I always keep that in mind. And he was always respectful enough to say, man, everything has changed and you seem to be up on the changes. And we worked together a lot, you know, especially those last about year of his career. We spent a lot of time together, and I'm very, very grateful. I still keep Buford's notes that he wrote out about how to do stuff and what to look for and all that, and I still look back on them every now and then to just get an idea of how we're really supposed to do this. And I'll definitely miss him. That was a trucker's trucker right there.
Yeah, and again, was with the company for so long and touched a lot of lives. I'm just in our industry. There was a lot of people at his funeral today, and from different places where his kids had gone to school, and different industry leaders and things like that. So he's definitely going to be missed. I know a lot of the drivers have said some very nice things on Facebook, and you can certainly keep his family in mind. He does leave behind a wife and some kids and grandkids, so you can be keeping them certainly in your prayers. And the service was today, but if you do have a soft spot in your heart for Buford and you want to donate something to his legacy, he was a part of an organization. It's based in Brentwood, Tennessee. I am not going to say this correct. Do you want to try to say it for me?
Jóvenes en Camino.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. And I'll let you say it again here in a second. But it basically was for children in Honduras. And Honduras is a very, very poor, I think in South, it's like the second poorest behind Haiti in South America. But the organization does, it basically takes care of boys who have been abused, been left to poverty, and different things like that. And one thing I had heard today, and I don't know that I knew this about Buford, but he was big into baseball. And I think his son even had a baseball scholarship. So, like, he continued to play ball, and I think he even, like, helped out doing some different things. But I think that was definitely a passion of his, and I did not know that. But I, you know, this was an organization that I think he was affiliated with. And so if you want to go to their website, it's very easy. I'll spell it out. It's JOVENESEN Camino, so CAMINO.org. And, of course, you can call into the office and hit one of us up if you want to find it out. But that's where they're asking for donations to go. So if you want to donate something on behalf of Buford, you can certainly do that. And then that website has a lot of information about it.
Jóvenes en Camino.
Yes.
Youth in Camino, I guess, is the town that they live in.
.org. So, and again, like I said, if you are not able to write that down because you're probably driving a truck or driving home, that's when I listen to these podcasts when I'm driving. So
I bet you they get a lot of donations over the next couple of days.
I think they will. There was we were kind of all asking questions about it and trying to learn about it and different things like that. But Buford Benson, 79 years old, long time. M&W employee, was a good man, taught us all quite a bit, I know, and he certainly is going to be missed. And
man, you talk about a guy that was just full of life, just so animated and such a great spirit. And you know, whether you agreed with him or not, and he and I certainly had our moments of not agreeing, but you know, I think because of his just love for people and also as you know, his faith dictated that we are all, you know, we're all in this thing together and we're all brothers and sisters, and he never abandoned that even when there was a strong disagreement. And boy, if the world could ever listen to a lesson right now, that would be a fine one to listen to from Buford.
For sure. Buford Benson, 79. We're going to miss him, but his legacy just pours through the offices here, and he certainly won't be forgotten. So we'll be thinking of him and his family. Keep them in your prayers, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, M&W, this is Bart. Do you know about the Ally Health telemedicine? This is a benefit M&W offers where you can speak to a doctor on the phone without physically going to a doctor office and paying for an office visit. They can treat things such as cold, sinus, rashes, headaches, insect bites, skin inflammations, and more. It's only $2.50 a week, and it covers everyone in your household, and there is no limit to how many times you can call. Once you set up your account by entering your information for you and your family, then you select your pharmacy. There's an app that you can download. You can go through the steps and even upload a picture, and a doctor will call you to discuss your symptoms. This is not associated with your medical insurance. The only time UMR insurance will come into play is if you get a prescription, and the doctor you're speaking with on the phone will send that prescription in for you. My family and I have used this 6 or 7 times, and we love it. It has saved us hundreds of dollars by not having to go to an urgent care or walk-in clinic or see our primary care doctor. If you can eliminate one urgent care visit, this benefit is paid for itself for the entire year. You can enroll at any time. It will just not be effective until the first of each month. Please let me know if you're interested. You can also complete the enrollment form on your Paycom app.
Hello, I'm TC Harris, driver of truck number 568, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
Buford would let us have a little fun right now, wouldn't he? He'd be okay with that, right?
Absolutely. I think the one thing is he wouldn't want us to. You know, you and I both said we didn't. It's tough to come in and do a podcast on a day like today. It's kind of gloomy out. You know, I went to a funeral. But you know what? Buford would want us to go.
I think so.
He'd want us to push forward and rock and roll.
He's a pretty selfless guy.
So I got to throw a compliment out to Bailey. She's really doing a great job as a producer.
She came through with the notes today.
My heart is stop beating for a moment. You're being nice to me on the podcast.
I know. Well, you've done.
You've
done a good job. Like you've given us, you know, I have a television background. I was a producer. I was an associate producer once. And so, you know, that's what you do. You gather the stories and the news and put it together for the people that are talking about it. And Bailey has done a phenomenal job of getting us some information here today. Before we start, though, I heard something in the hallway this morning.
This is how every podcast starts. We should just do the podcast in the hallway, and then we don't have to do this anymore.
Were you weeping at a Walgreens this weekend?
Oh, you have no idea. I wasn't weeping, like, outwardly, like, sobbing, weeping.
Did you have to go to the Kleenex aisle and get Kleenex?
I could have used one.
Some people eat, like, the candy while they're walking through the store. Did you have to have
club that would have been even better, just eating candy and crying. No, I wasn't. I did have tears in the corners of my eyes.
Well, did you read, like, a great card or something?
No, I mean, it wasn't an emotional tears. It was tears of pain.
Oh.
I really overdid it this weekend, and failed to drink enough water while I was doing all the things that I did. Mm-hmm. And I went through the entire day, and I killed it. A workout, an incredibly long hike, and then mowing the yard after that. And at the end of it, at the very end of the day, started cramping up, and it got so bad that that I ended up at the Walgreens after taking all the ibuprofen that I thought would not cause my liver to take too big of a hit, and then to try and get something to put on there. And I was standing in line. There was nobody in line when I first walked in. When I got to the line, after I picked out my thing, the line was all the way back to the photo booth.
Oh, man.
And I stood there, and between my despair and my pain, there were tears in the eyes.
That's
it,
I
it that's, was I told Bailey, I had a stroke, and it wasn't as bad as how I felt on Saturday night.
Did you get, what'd you do? Get some Pedialyte or Gatorade or?
No, I got some Icy Hot and like the max strength and.
Wait, Chris.
I drank water and Gatorade and okay. stuff and all yeah, that. No, it was past that.
You
I had to get
lubed
to,
yourself up with a bunch of Icy Hot.
Oh my gosh, no! I had to get the pain dulled. So I thought of Shaquille O'Neal, and I put that Icy Hot on there about three times.
I've got me some. It's fun. Well,
you guys have the same haircut.
Me and Shaq?
Yeah.
You guys do.
We would probably be friends.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he listens to the podcast.
Maybe he does.
He does.
I was playing golf on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was so hot that when I got to the 18th, and I was drinking water, I drank probably 60, 70, 80 ounces of water, a couple Gatorades. And like I got out of the golf cart at the 18th hole, and like parts of my stomach were seizing up.
Yeah.
There's actually studies that drinking too much water can be bad for you. But we'll get to that another time.
There she is. There she is. Here this is go. Where I wish the mic would smack her in the face.
Here we go.
Can you run into that mic real quick, Bailey?
And no,
whenever Bailey starts out with studies show
that you're
I cringe.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I listen to podcasts that make me learn things.
Well, I'm glad that you're. Are you better?
I am.
You don't smell like an NFL locker room, so you must have laid off the Icy Hot coming into work today.
No, I just needed it that one time.
I'm glad you're good. Thanks. And I'm glad you had a good hike.
It was an accidental long hike. It was one of those. The problem is that I started walking, and then I realized I saw Percy Priest Dam in front of me, and I said, I've gone too far.
Oh, wow.
And then you still got to go back.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen to me, but it happens to some people.
It was cool.
That's awesome, though. Okay, here we go. Conspiracy theories. That's what we're here to talk about.
Conspiracy theories.
Bailey has put this together for us, and so...
Because what is today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. That's when they launched. Neil Armstrong actually walks on the moon July 20th. So this has been argued forever, right? Did the moon landing actually really happen? Was it just recorded in a studio? Because they've done movies, especially now. Like today, you could do, you know, if the moon landing would have happened in 2019 with everything that's CG'd.
Oh, you'd be like, there's no way.
So it's like, how do you prove it? So what are some of the theories? Let's start here. Does anybody in this room believe?
I was going to ask the same thing. Let's figure out who's who here real quick.
Does anybody believe that the moon landing did not happen?
I do not. I don't believe that it didn't happen. I believe that they went to the moon and landed there several times.
Hey, Chris and I agree on something. This is a small, maybe that.
Bailey?
I am a full believer that we have seen and stepped on the moon.
Okay,
good.
So here are some of the theories that exist of why we did not go. Okay. Theory number one, there are no stars in the pictures of the moon when they're on the moon. It looks like the flag is moving and there is no air in space.
Right.
Right. So there would be nothing to move the flag. It's not possible. And there's too much radiation in space. So these are just arguments that people have brought up.
Right.
So the rebuttals to those things are, the camera was focused on the astronaut, not the stars.
And you got exposure times there, too.
Exactly. Camera.
There's no possible way you were going to get stars in that picture.
You're not taking pictures with your iPhone 12.
Right.
You know, that's highly advanced. The flag was moved when it was placed. There's not a lot of dangerous amount of radiation in space. And for the time that they were there, you can still see the footprints when they zoom in.
There's a clue.
Boom. No, we sent a boot up there.
We shot a boot. We had to do it about 70 times because we couldn't get that perfect.
It landed
flat.
On the side.
Yeah, it kept landing on the side.
So we shot a boot up there. There's leftover space equipment there and moon rocks.
Yeah, moon rocks
they're
are
at the
pretty
Smithsonian,
good,
I think.
Pretty some good of them are. Clue too. But could you, if I had a moon rock in my hand right now, would you be able to say, "Oh man, there's a moon rock"?
So that's what I think. The fun part of this would be is like kind of going back and forth on. Like, so we all understand that we believe, just so that we don't get made fun of by the drivers or other people. But, like, I think one of us should take the side of that we didn't land on the moon.
Okay, I'll
do
it.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll say we, drivers, I believe we went to the moon. We are playing pretend right now.
This is pretend.
All right.
We're role playing.
All right.
Here we go.
Really?
Here we go.
I think that was an HR violation.
Chris, we clearly landed on the moon. We have prints of our boots up there.
Where?
On the moon.
Where are these prints of the boots? How do we see them?
Do you want me to pull up pictures for you and show you?
Pictures from a government website?
So if I
is that what you're going to do? You're going to trust the government to show me pictures of something that happened?
If I pull up a picture.
Yeah, who took the picture? The government.
We did it with a satellite.
Whose satellite? Government satellite.
Moon boot pics. Here they are.
Those are just boots that you can buy on Amazon.
These are...
It's like that. It's like that. Good job, Zach.
The guys really
you are the one that we need arguing.
Different things, yeah.
Oh, good thing you're not in the research.
Okay, so
I'm gonna you're gonna pull up some pictures, and where did the pictures come from? Satellites owned
satellite
by the
imagery.
Government, right? NASA,
not anymore.
The government.
NASA is not owned by the government.
Oh,
fun
who
fact,
owns them?
My uncle used to work for NASA.
Here's a landing hoax. Like the boot picture is different than the boot on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. We all know what those astronaut boots look like, and they don't look. I've checked the prints.
So the bottom line is it's black in space because the pictures are focused right on the guys. Okay.
Yeah, but you could still see stars if it was a
where do you
halfway
live?
Decent camera.
You live in.
I live in Donaldson.
You live in the Donaldson area. So tonight when you go outside, mm-hmm. will you be able to see stars up in the sky?
Yep.
Not if it's cloudy.
There's no clouds on the moon. There's no atmosphere on the moon.
Why is there no clouds on the moon?
Because there's no atmosphere on the moon. The moon has no atmosphere.
There's no air in space.
There's no air like we have here.
Yeah,
no.
There's no air in space.
No.
But my point is if there's a ton of light, which are these pictures are taken with a bunch of light,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You're not going to be able to see the stars because the camera is focused on the astronaut and the ground that's before it. So the stars are not going to be bright enough for you to see them in the backgrounds.
But I can
just
see,
like
I can see stars
tonight,
in other pictures that I take.
But if you took a picture tonight outside your house, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to see the stars.
Lies.
Even with our iPhone 12s.
Do they have those yet?
You wouldn't be able to see the stars.
iPhone 12 gives you free stars.
I don't know if that's the case.
Apple owns the
you're
stars.
You're not. Do you want to throw anything at me, Mr. We didn't land on the moon?
Oh, I don't know what my argument is yet, but how about I say it just wasn't possible because we all know that computer technology. I mean, I remember technology when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago. I'm a young man.
You're beginning your argument with lies.
The computers were terrible. Terrible and could hardly do anything. So you want to tell me that 30 years before that we were building spacecraft that was going to make this narrow window and was going to get to the moon, survive a landing, and then relaunch and make it all the way back to Earth with the astronauts. And so I will take the argument. It just wasn't possible.
Do you believe that we've gone to space at all? Do you believe we've sent people to space?
What am I supposed to say? Who am I playing? Am I playing me or am I playing the anti-moon me?
We're still role-playing.
Okay. Have we been to space?
At all.
People have not been to space.
Just what?
Just junk we shoot up there.
The monkeys?
Oh, I forgot about those monkeys.
We sent the monkeys
to space.
There
was a dog, too, I think.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Cat.
Dog.
Bailey, who's won this argument?
Has a horse been to space, Bailey?
No, a horse isn't. That's a big animal. Also, In case you were wondering, the dog that they sent into space did not return alive, but the Russian government told everyone that it did.
Just not possible. And there you go.
See, that's Russians. That's why conspiracy theories are started. Right there.
Russians.
Because you got to lie about
somehow they all have to do with Russians.
Yeah. All right. So did I win that, Bailey?
I don't. What was your argument going to be? You asked me just, about have people been to space?
And you answered that as in no. People have been to space.
But you told me I was supposed to say no.
I know. Okay. We're not doing a very good job of role playing.
We're doing a terrible job because I'm so afraid that people aren't going to understand and people are going to say Chris. Because I can make a very convincing argument. It'll be so convincing that all the drivers will be like, Chris doesn't think we went to the moon. And I don't want that. Okay.
We all understand that you believe that we did go to the moon. It actually did happen. And bada bing, bada boom. But the problem is that there are things that are fabricated. And I think that's why. Have you ever seen the movie Wag the Dog?
No, but I know about the premise behind the movie.
The premise of the movie is basically that they need a war to start.
Yeah.
In like Yugoslavia, and so they basically go through and totally in this movie, they totally fabricate everything. And there's like a scene of a little girl running through like an explosion, and that's all done in like a studio. And then they end up finding this guy, and it's a crazy story, but it does cause you at the end to think. From the like, they come to Nashville with Willie Nelson and write like a country song about it. Like it's like seriously, and there's like a song, and then people start throwing shoes up for the soldier that gets killed, and. All of a sudden, you've got a reason to go to war.
Yeah, and that's why these things keep going, because the people that fabricate these conspiracy theories follow a very good and tried and true formula. You know, they just like you're talking about in Wag the Dog. I mean, it looks good. It's even though it's built on a false premise, it's got just enough plausibility to it, and it has to be possible. So there's just enough there that somebody can grab onto. And if one person will do it, that person will find the other few people that will do it as well.
Right.
And before you know it, you've got something that's absolutely ridiculous floating around that you've got this little cult following bunch of people that believe it.
I mean, I'm not going to make fun of anybody who thinks that we haven't been to the moon because, it's the moon. You know, I think one of the biggest arguments is why haven't we been back? If it was so doable, why haven't we gone back? You know, so because it costs
maybe
a lot of money.
We've been busy.
It costs a lot of money and there's people that are dying of hunger all across the world. Maybe our money's better spent there.
And we've been really busy too.
Doing other things.
Yeah.
So speaking, what did you say a second ago? Really crazy ideas? Wait. Just wait till we get back from the break on this one. You want to talk about crazy? This puts Chris and Bailey to shame. We'll be right back. What would it be like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you're ready to retire, so is your bank account? Depending on where you are right now, that might sound crazy. But we want to help make it a reality for you and your family, and starting will only take 5 minutes. Smart Dollar is your free, 100% online, company-provided financial wellness benefit. This program gives you the practical steps, tools, and inspiration you need to make retiring a millionaire a reality. We call this the Millionaire Movement. When you follow the plan, Smart Dollar can help take you from living paycheck to paycheck to being able to save, invest, and give like no one else. Millions of people, just like you, have used this 7-step process to save their first emergency fund, eliminate debt, invest wisely, and even pay off their homes. The average user saves more than $6,127 and pays off $9,405 in the first 12 months. So what are you waiting for? Smart Dollar has been adding new tools and content all year long, so go check it out. Text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone, or you can call me direct at 615-620-1540 for more information. Again, text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone. Again, you can call me, Zach Pugh, anytime at 615-620-1540 for more information. Start living financially free today. It's changed my life and can change yours as well.
Hello, my name's Bo Ward, driver of truck 605, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
Let's get to the crazy. We love the crazy. Cray-cray.
Yeah, so we were doing conspiracy theories in this episode, and this one is so crazy that...
That I love it.
Bailey did a good job on this one.
I gave Bailey a comment, but this one right here, I don't know. Let me ask you one quick question before we get into this.
Who are you asking me?
Yeah. Or either one of you. What's going to happen if one of our listeners is a believer in this?
Well,
I'm just. Have we teased the snot out of this thing here? Here we go. Bailey, I'm going to let you say it because I don't even want to say it out loud. I don't want to be on record even saying this one. So.
The flat earth movement.
The flat earth.
Brought on.
No, just stop. Let's just let that marinate for a second.
So these are people that think the earth is flat. Like not a ball. Not a globe.
I've done it's a map. So much research on this today.
Will you take the lead on
it? Are you one of them now?
That
you
no, I'm that not. So I'm, much? I'm not a believer, but I probably know more about this than I should.
That's how they get you.
Do you know
they get you just doing my quotes in the air research, and before you know it,
yeah,
you're sucked in. They're recruiting you as we speak.
She's probably got the bumper sticker already ordered.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. Like, we'll get into this more, but Bailey and I were just talking about this before we came in here, and I was like, dude, like when you look out at the sky, the moon is round, the sun is round, like duh. And she goes. Sorry, Bailey. They believe that there's they're around, but the earth is still flat. Does it sound like Bailey?
No, that no. sounded like
I don't sound quite that bad.
I had to differentiate my voice. I could have been.
But you chose to do it in the most offensive way possible.
Well, I didn't want to do like. I didn't want to be like, hey, never mind.
That would have been equally offensive. Good job.
The point is that...
How about Bailey said, comma, and then say what she said?
Just in my normal voice?
Yeah.
There's no fun in that. All that being said, so that is one of their big... You know, they believe that even though you can look up at the moon and the sun and see that they're round, that the earth is still flat.
Well,
and
I think
the other planets are still round, but just the earth is flat.
All right, let's differentiate here for the sake of our listeners. They are not saying that the earth is not round... I think they're saying that the Earth is a round disc, but is not a round sphere.
Does that matter?
It matters a lot.
It's more like a frisbee.
It's a frisbee. Okay, yeah.
So a frisbee's round.
But you're going to fall off the edge at some point.
Right. That's what they're thinking.
People fall off the edge.
You got to tell us a lot. We have a lot of questions here, Bailey.
According to my research.
According to
her leaders. Antarctica is a wall of ice around the edge of the earth, so you can't fall off. You would hit the ice first. The second theory
is... Wait. Nobody has thought to climb over said ice? I mean, we can climb over Mount Everest right now. Are they saying that Antarctica is higher than Mount Everest?
Well, I'm just saying you won't accidentally fall off the edge.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't just be going along in your boat and
canoeing
like,
out on the Pacific Ocean and like,
basically,
you wouldn't be out there parasailing, you know, in your white sweater vest and with your
skater. You're getting close to the edge.
Okay, so there's a wall of ice around the sphere. So
that nobody's ever climbed
that
over.
That is good that you've – I've heard about this theory. It's good that you painted the picture. So it, think of a disc, a right. frisbee. That's what they think. And then around the entire circumference of that frisbee is a wall of ice.
A second less
– I'm sorry.
A second less noted theory is called the Pac-Man theory.
Ooh.
Which is like, you know, when you're playing Pac-Man and you go through the tube and you come back out the other side.
Holy moly. Are you serious? Nobody.
I'm completely serious.
So you're talking, this is.
How do they call it the Pac-Man theory?
Yes.
So this is so messed up. That there's a fringe group inside of the fringe group that believes something that's not even physically possible. That's awesome.
Here we go with time travel.
I want to meet these people so bad.
It's not really time travel. It's kind of more of a location warp.
You leave China, you come out in San Francisco.
You know what? I'm to the point. You asked the question, what happens if somebody... That one of our drivers, somebody in this company, believes this. I want to talk to you really badly. I want to hear the intellectual conversation using known science.
The Pac-Man theory.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Bailey, what else? What other fun facts do you have on this?
You know, there's
the sun and the moon. Oh my
that,
God.
So the Earth is basically the bottom of the universe and is like moving everything up. So everything is just kind of floating above it. And there's nothing below the Earth.
Oh, wow.
The ice holds the water in.
Yes, that's the main theory.
Somebody drew this thing with a crayon, man.
You know, today earlier I got a drink.
Right.
And I put some ice in the cup.
Yeah.
And then I put some water in it, more fluid.
Yeah.
And then guess what?
What?
My ice is
gone.
The
ice melted. Yeah.
The ice is gone.
Well, I guess, you know, space is cold. It's maybe since it touches space on the edge. I don't know. That's my own personal.
So space starts right after Antarctica?
Yeah. You'd be falling off the edge.
Yeah. I guess if you had the disc and then you've got this wall of... You know, ice around the edge of the disc holding everything in.
Holy there isn't a true like atmosphere on the edges.
You need some icy hot for your head.
I do. I'm trying to grasp this. So what about
how do you believe
so
this?
What if I just started sailing on what I, as a rational person, believe there to be the equator around the center of our circular or our spherical. World, so they're saying you couldn't do that. Eventually, you would hit the wall of ice.
Well, if you were following the equator itself, would just be sailing in a circle.
Do they believe in the equator?
Oh,
because imagine the North Pole is the center
in the middle, so you've got like concentric rings.
Yeah,
it gets more messed up.
So, like if you peeled an orange but you left the top and just started at the middle and left everything intact,
so you go from I know it's hard. I got it though. I got it. So Zach, North Pole in dead center of the frisbee. Okay, halfway between North Pole in the center and Antarctica ice wall. Halfway between there is a circle, and that's the equator, and that's where it's hot. So it's cold in the middle.
Yes.
And it's cold on the edge.
Yes.
And the insides are really hot.
Yes.
But the sun just goes floaty around.
The sun and the moon kind of have this elliptical pattern that kind of, I wish that the viewers could see my hands and the emotion that I'm making.
It makes as much.
What few viewers we've had.
I can't even believe, this is fun, but it's almost like we're giving this like some... semblance of legitimacy, which
we
do not want to do.
Here's a good tip. Mike Hughes, pause.
Is that somebody we know?
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Mike Hughes, comma, a daredevil, and flat earth conspiracy theorist. Do I even need to read anything else?
No, we want to hear. Hey, watch this. I think that's what's coming next.
No, this is definitely what those. Here, hold my beer. Like, watch this.
I'll begin again.
All right.
Mike Hughes, flat earth conspiracy theorist and daredevil, used a home built manned rocket.
I don't believe in them government rockets. You're never going to get through this.
Used a home-built manned rocket in attempt to see for himself if the Earth is flat on March 24th, 2018.
Oh, wow. That was just recently. I can't
get through this. His rocket, made of scrap metal, at an estimated cost of $20,000.
$20,000 of scrap metal.
Bailey wrote this to make me look like a complete idiot.
How does that make you look like an idiot?
Because I can't read it.
That's your own personal problem.
Made of scrap metal at an estimated cost of $20,000, using a mobile home as a custom launch pad.
There we go. Thanks, drivers, for tuning into the podcast. This has been the most awesome thing that has ever happened. All I needed to hear was rocket made out of a mobile home, and we have hit hit the wall.
That is the launch pad.
Oh.
Because
that's a very stable launch
pad. I am weeping right now. I am crying. There's more. It's not over with.
Oh, good.
As a custom launch pad, it managed a successful deploying. I think this is a stretch. The amateur rocketeer was not seriously injured and remains firm that his flat earth beliefs. He claims the real evidence will come with the larger rocket.
What we need is bigger rockets.
He made it a solid 1,800 feet in the air.
1,800 feet.
So he wasn't able to get high enough to see the curvature of the earth.
You can buy a toy at, you know, a toy store rocket that goes higher than 1,800 feet.
And if you ask, the airplanes are part of the conspiracy. So when you're in an airplane, they have built the windows so that it makes it look like there's a curve in the earth, even though there's not actually a curve.
Say that again slowly. for those drivers who have driven off the side of the road.
So
can you say that again slowly?
The planes don't get you quite high enough to see a quote-unquote curvature of the earth, but they have also built the windows with their thick glass to mimic the look of a curved earth when you look out of the window, in order to keep the majority of the population in line that the earth is indeed a globe.
Yeah, my gosh. Keep us population in line. Space exploration is fake. Gravity is created by the Earth accelerating through space at 32 feet a second.
That is the girth. That's the gravity force.
So, okay. I don't know anything about this, but I'll tell you exactly.
32 feet a second? Where did they come
from? Well, it just so happens, Zach, that I may get this wrong. It may be a little bit off. I think they may be assuming some gravity. But roughly what they're trying to do is overcome the acceleration of gravity, or make an explanation for the acceleration of gravity.
Why we're not just floating.
Which is I think it's a little bit more than 32 feet per second.
It's pretty close.
We need to look that up.
What
is the acceleration of gravity?
It's like 9 meters per square second, which comes out to about 32
okay,
feet
but,
per
so,
second.
Okay, so they're doing is they're we've got science and we've got experiments that are you can do over and over again, and they're repeatable and they're predictable, and they're saying, how are we going to do that? All right, here's what we can do. We can say the Earth is moving up at 32 feet per second, which is what we've accepted and measured as the acceleration of gravity, rather than gravity is a force pulling us towards the center of the mass of the Earth.
They said it would be like sitting in a car and continually speeding up so that you're continually being pushed into the seat.
Right.
So that's their theory. Not that we're spinning so fast that it's keeping us on here.
That's
Mike Hughes, a flat earth conspiracy theorist and daredevil, used a home-built manned rocket in an attempt to see for himself if the earth was flat, made of scrap metal, and he used his mobile home as a custom launch pad.
You just wanted to see if you could get through it, didn't you? You did a great job.
I think
also, the sun and the moon are 3,000 miles above the earth, according to these people.
3,000 miles?
With the rest of it about 100 miles more above it.
Oh, you could, we've got drivers that do that in a week, in a truck. It's so close. Why don't we go?
I'm taking back my compliment, Bailey.
I thought I did great research.
If you can
keep a straight face through this segment of the podcast.
Seriously, I want you to ask your question, but wait 1 second. Bailey.
Yes.
1-0 being you don't believe, 10 being you do believe. Where were you before you started doing your research on the flat earth conspiracy?
Zero,
you don't believe that you believe the earth is round.
Zero.
Okay. You've done a lot of research. We've had a somewhat intelligent conversation on tape. Where do you stand right now?
Zero. It's just really funny.
You're telling me that Mike Hughes and his hook home built 20,000 pound are made of scrap metal using his mobile home as a launch pad did not sell you?
It did not. I was a geography minor in college, and so my understanding of maps just completely blows this out of the water.
Got somebody.
That's good.
Blown out. What were you going to ask?
I was just going to say, listeners, if any of you are part of the Flat Earth Society, we do not mean to disrespect your beliefs in any way, but please come in and talk to us and help us explain, or help explain to us what we may be missing here, because I am a firm zero there with Bailey on this thing. Zach? We need to know.
Zach's definitely at least a one.
If you can find me, you know, I have a thing about putting, I like putting stickers. I have a really cool Arctic cooler, and wherever I go somewhere, I'll get a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on my cooler.
If I buy you a Flat Earth
If somebody will sticker. Bring me a Flat Earth sticker, I will put it on my Arctic cooler.
That's awesome.
I'm at a zero, too.
Good job.
But I'm going to do some more research on this Mike Hughes guy because he sounds amazing.
I'm interested.
I'm interested in Mike Hughes and his rockets and mobile home launching pads and everything else.
What would you do if I got Mike Hughes?
There may be some value there. Oh, dude, we would.
You know, this sounds like something
Bailey could do it.
Someone may do who's from a certain part of the country.
I love it. You can't stereotype, Bailey.
No.
Especially being a producer.
It's very broad.
Gotta remain objective.
That's right. Change our mind. If you're a driver and you are a person listening to this podcast and you believe in the flat earth conspiracy, change our mind.
There you go.
Well, it was a tough start to the podcast. We want to remember Buford Benson, but I think he'd be here laughing with us too, don't you?
Absolutely.
Bailey, thank you for pulling all this together. Drivers, remember, you can pull down these podcasts. Tell your friends. You can get them wherever podcasts are listened to, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. You can even subscribe and get an email and hear all our shenanigans and whatnot. So we would love to have you listen. Would love to have you share about Mike Hughes and his launch pad. So do that. But we love you guys and gals. We appreciate all the work you do, driving all over, and love the feedback that we're getting. So thank you for listening. I'm Zach Pugh with Chris Woody and Bailey. Thanks for listening to the Drive Podcast. Have a great day.